anytime at skidrowstudios.com.
I'll find out when we have the show.
Okay, see, because we heard the...
Wait.
Welcome to the Love Bite.
I am Insidious Muse.
I'm the Service Slut.
And we have Master Fauna with us. I was accused of not introducing a guest one time, and I told the fucker, yes, I did. And he goes, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. And he said, well, I picked it up in the middle of the podcast. And I was like, you just can't listen. It's okay. It's fine. So, now that we've done, what do you have to say, Nancy?
No, I was just going to say, because during the promo... I asked you if we could have sex, and then you were like, right now? And then you were like, no. So I'm just going to go ahead and just get ahead of myself. Can we have sex after the show? Not here at a remote location.
Can I go? I got a lot going on. After the show, I'm going back to the ICU where my mom is.
Right.
Which, just so you know, there's a lot of not sexy, sexy feelings when that's going on.
There's a lot of nakedness going on.
Yeah, but it's not sexy naked. And the nurses, do they put ugly nurses in the ICU? Because they're all fucking ugly. There was a hot bitch in the emergency room. But goddamn, in the ICU. I will tell you this, though. The doctors, man, there were three in there. And all of them, one was like Indian Pakistani. One was like Middle Eastern. And one was Japanese. And I was like, I want a fucking Benetton fucking orgy right now. It was hot.
Is that like Pat Benatar? Benetton. I don't even know what that is. Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is Fauna.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yes. I'm happy to be here. I feel really sexy. My voice sounds so sexy in my ears right now.
Don't you love it?
Hello. Okay. This is fun.
You can just seduce yourself with the headphones.
Hello, how are you doing?
Just do your own phone sex.
Yeah.
So, and then they touched you here. Oh. And then they, yeah. Right?
Okay. Back to serious whatever
stuff.
This is, podcast. Here we go. Hello, everybody. Okay.
So, as we said before, this is the first time that we have another female D-type in the room. And it is, let me just tell you that for me, for myself, that's like, I like this. Like, I'm just like, where's this going? What's going to happen? Who's going to say what? And what's going to happen? And doesn't it be so exciting? Because, like, I'm totally overstimulized right now. So that's all I have to say about
that. You said overstimulized. Is that a word?
It is now.
Let's look it up.
Okay. It is now.
We're putting it in the dictionary.
We have thus
dominance.
Made it so. It is now a word.
I'm going to cough. Hold on. Okay.
We taught
her
all about
the button.
We taught her about the cough button. So now she knows. Now she feels like she's a better person. And she's going to use it the way I do, where she talks about it. You want to know why? Because she's a fellow dominant.
I am.
And we do what we want. Oh, wow. Look, the
really
submissive did it right. And she's so dainty about it. I'm sorry. I just like we told you I was in a weird mood on the way over, so
that's your excuse every week.
It's all good. It's hot in here.
That's my life. So take off all your clothes. Hey. I am getting sorry. All right.
So
Nancy needs to take her shirt off.
No, I don't. I really, really don't.
Oh,
well, we do end up having boys come in at
really?
The end of the show because not our boys, but for the next show. So she would be uncomfortable with her breasts being exposed to the boys because they have the penis.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny how that doesn't happen when we're in a dungeon.
Right? Yeah. I think it's because you're around fellow freaks.
Yeah.
That's true.
And these other people are not freaks.
You're not the only nude walking around sitting with headphones on. That would be awkward.
So, you know, we've got a female dominant here, and she's, you know, pretty thick and deep into the lifestyle.
And she's awesome.
She's like the leader of one of our femdom groups, and we love her to death, and we love the group.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like, I wanted to just shoot the shit and chit-chat about, you know, like, what the fuck? What is it like being, other than inside my head, what is it like being a female dominant?
That's a good question.
Right. So, you know, let's start with, how did you arrive to your dominance?
That's another good question.
I do that. That's why I'm here.
That's why you have a show. I started, I would say about 10 years, looking at some of this stuff and getting a little intimidated because some of it is pretty advanced stuff, pretty complicated when you learn how to play and things like that. And so I started to kind of go away and do it all by myself until about 3 years ago when I said, you know what, I'm not really getting anywhere with this. And a friend of mine told me about a local dungeon, and I was very nervous, and I attended, and it ended up being incredible, like coming home in a lot of ways. And then they haven't been able to kick me out since. I've been going there almost every weekend. Lately, I've been taking a little bit of a breather because they say, oh, you're here all the time. Why don't you volunteer?
Outside of the fact that it ain't cheap.
No, it's not cheap.
If you go all the time, we were calculating out the costs of classes and dungeons and
play parties and all of this stuff.
Minimum of like $200 a month. You're just shelling out on that, and you're not even buying toys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
There are ways to figure out how to do that on a lesser budget. When you volunteer, they say, you can come in for free. So it's kind of nice.
Maybe that's why we should start teaching classes. So we're teaching classes every place so we can get in for free, people.
That's the way to do it. Well, if you know stuff, why not? You know?
True.
You can teach a lot of people things that they don't know. And, you know, I've just been having the time of my life meeting awesome people. You know?
That's true.
And I love doing the Dom Scouts, Troop 96.
Yeah.
Duckbill salute.
Duckbill salute. And we will take over the world eventually, just to let you guys know.
Yeah, because we have boobs.
And we have sashes.
We do.
And we have badges. We earn our merit badges.
Mm-hmm. And
we do a lot of edumacation.
We make cookies. And we rock. So anyways, I have found in my time of being part of the community that it's been kind of difficult because in some ways, when you're new, you kind of have to prove yourself at first of, do you belong here? Are you somebody that they can trust? Can they send people to you to play? And, you know, are you just full of shit? Can we kiss?
Are we kissing now?
No, I'm cuss. I don't want you to kiss me. Not right now.
I'm
a little bit.
Here's
a little bit later. We'll make out later, don't worry. We'll have time. She okay?
She's having a laughing fit.
It's okay. I love making people laugh until they want to pass out. It's one of my fetishes. Laugh harder, baby. Okay.
Was something else entirely.
Oh, good. Okay. I won't take credit for it then.
Whatever. So, remember we were talking before we got on air about the cough button, about how I don't use the cough button properly?
Yeah.
Well, I went to use the cough button, but I'm so used to using the mic off button that I push the cough button and then I burp. But I burped in my mouth because I realized in the middle of this that I wasn't still depressing the cough button thing. And then you guys were talking about whatever you were talking about. And I had one of those weird laughing fits where I can't breathe. And
so, you know what's going to have to happen is that anytime that we tweet about the show, we're going to have the hashtag cough button, because apparently the cough button is the third host on this show, because the cough button is discussed so frequently.
Yes, it is a character.
Cock and boobs are discussed far more frequently.
Well, I have a question for the both of you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Would you say that our way of life is a kind of a male-dominated world? And if so, or if not, or whatever, how do you think that females have grown in that? I mean, because, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people, that their stereotypical way of seeing DS is this male master and female submissive, mm-hmm. and they're having all this crazy sex all the time and all this shit and the stuff and the stuff. So,
right.
You know, you, please.
Are you speaking of in the lifestyle, or are you just talking about society in general?
In the lifestyle.
Would you like to answer first, or are you still thinking?
Let me think a little bit on that.
Okay.
You go
ahead. It's interesting because, yeah, we do live in an overarching society that is incredibly misogynistic and incredibly patriarchal, and that it's male-dominated. And there is this constant belief that is promulgated throughout media and throughout general society and throughout politics that the man is, you know, the more superior of the two. And, you know, you don't even get me started on religion. Let's not go there. But because, you know, you bow to your husband and whatever. Was it Michelle Bachman who was like, you know, I am worshiping my husband or submitting to him. Fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great if you're submissive, but it's, as far as a societal rule, it's very upsetting to me as a feminist. Shock that I'm a feminist. But going beyond that, within the lifestyle, I think that it clearly seeps into that, because these are concepts that are ingrained in us since childhood. I mean, they really are just something that we constantly see. It's something that you learn by observation. And so when you go into the lifestyle, it becomes even more difficult, let's say, for a female dominant and a male submissive, because they are in direct contradiction to what society expects of females and men. And so if you were a dominant female, then you're a ball-busting bitch. and you are, you know, oh, what do you want, a dick? You're just jealous because you don't got a cock. Really? That's not how I feel. I don't feel like I am less of a person because I lack a penis. I feel that I am more of a person because I'm a female and I can still be dominant and still be nurturing and still be loving. But there is an expectation in the lifestyle that, you know, this is how a dom tops. This is how they behave and this is how they act. But that is the expectation of a male dominant. Whereas a female dominant, the way we approach things is incredibly different. It's not always about the sex and the controlling through sex and the face fucking and the, you know, all of these other things and the 50 Shades of Grey shit.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's not about that. There is a far larger mental component, in my opinion, especially with all of the male dominance and the female dominance that I've spoken to. There's a far larger mental component in female domination because you absolutely have to master. We don't have the physical prowess. We just don't, in order to be able to physically dominate somebody in the same way a man dominates a woman. So we have to do it mentally, and we have to be much better at that. We have to deal with the psychology of it. So my opinion is that that makes it drastically different. And so it creates a lot of challenges because you can't just walk up and show somebody your stellar single-tail skills or your stellar, you know, flogging skills or your stellar rigging skills. I mean, you can, but to be, I think, a very effective female dominant, you absolutely have to master a much subtler art. That's my soapbox.
I agree with you. I do. I have noticed when I first started in that a lot of the female dominance that I was seeing was women mimicking masculine dominance. And because that was, I could only use the example, that probably was their only example to go by, really, because there really wasn't any strong dominant females saying, hey, you know, come here, let me let you under my wing and let me, you know, we have a sisterhood. It wasn't that at all. It was very much, this is my thing, this is your thing. I don't like you, I don't like her. And, you know, how women are, we're very catty. And,
right.
You know, dominant females are no different. Sorry. And, but it just felt like, writing with my wrong hand, you know, I mean, I could do the male dominant thing. I had faked that before in my life so far, trying to be strong, you know, like a man. And I love men. Don't
right.
get me wrong. I love men. But I'm not a man. And so it really was not natural for me. And it wasn't until I started to really embrace kind of this concept of feminine power that I kind of adopted from my grandma, believe it or not, who was an incredibly dominant woman, but very soft. She could get anything she wanted because she knew how to use that power of her softness, really, to get whatever she wanted in her life. And she lived a great life. And, you know, I realized, oh, I'm doing this backwards. You know, I mean, I don't have to be tough. I don't have to go and, you know, push someone against the wall and smack them around to go, I'm dominant. I can actually do the reverse and stand across a room with a finger and direct them of what I want, which to me is even more powerful. And it's more of a mind fuck because it's like, how did she do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fun. It's fun to realize we have this power that's already just part of our makeup, you know, as a woman. That it really is not what everyone said it was. Oh, you're weak because you're a female. It's actually the opposite. We're incredibly strong. And some of us don't even know it.
So. Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sing it, sister.
You guys are so sexy, both of you, right now.
I had a person that I worked with. She was an executive vice president over me in one of my businesses. And in my field, it's a very female-dominated business. Industry, I was in an actually very male-dominated business. And what she said to me, the advice she gave to me, is she said, look at who you're dealing with. And I'm dealing with nothing but, you know, kind of not really knuckle-dragging. Okay, so they're knuckle-dragging men in suits, but they really are troglodytes. And she said, you're never going to win with kind of beating them over the head with logic. They're never going to get that. Even if I have the most logical argument on the planet, and trust me, I got some logical shit. She said, ours is an art of nuance and influence, and we need to subtly influence them, and then the decision will be made. And we need to accept in general that they will believe the idea is theirs, but we know, we have to just know. And I think that to speaking to Master Fauna's point is that takes a greater strength. It takes a huge amount of strength to just accept that you're not going to get the accolades. You're not going to get the publicity for doing the shit that you do, but the shit gets done. So you know what I'm saying? And sometimes that's hard. I mean, especially if you're like, no, I did it. I kicked ass on that. And you can't take credit for that. Even in some sort of a situation, when you're dealing, let's say, with a catty female, maybe a catty femdom, I might have met a few in my life. You know, you have to out-subtle them and out, by that, you end up winning. But you don't get a prize.
I want to talk about that, too, because something just recently happened with a fellow dominant female. I wouldn't call her a femdom because some people, that doesn't resonate with them. But for her, she and I both, I consider us both dominant females. And she had an issue with me. I won't go into detail what it was. It was ridiculous. But not ridiculous. It's ridiculous to me, but not to her. Anyways, long story short is she told me off via a really nasty email. And it was... You know, she said some things that I thought, well, that just doesn't sit right. Like, it doesn't sound like a very powerful email. I don't think she realizes she's not getting across exactly what she wants to get across because she's kind of being tough and, you know, talking really tough. And I just thought, oh, poor you. You know, that's not going to work. And my response back, though, you know, instinctually at first I wanted to tell her off as well because, you know, I mean, someone tells you off, you want to tell them off.
Right.
And I decided to really find grace, which was the powerful move. You know, if you're going to play the game, let's choose the most powerful move. So I responded with I hear your email. I understand that you're upset. Let's get together face to face. Because, you know, if you're going to say these things, say them to my face. Let's just try that. And then called her up, like I said I would, and said, let's talk face to face. Didn't get any response. And didn't respond back. I didn't take it as, oh, she's not responding. Then I must then do a counter response. And then now I will respond to all of her evil. And blah, blah, you know, just go into it. And the last time I saw her, she had open arms with a big, huge hug. Like none of it ever happened. Mm. And I thought, well, this conversation's not over yet, mind you. But we will definitely get an opportunity to talk again. And I think that we'll find solution rather than conflict. Which it didn't have to go there. It doesn't have to be conflict. You can find solution with a little bit of grace and understand it.
Your overall approach is, you know, very sane because it's a very similar approach to mine. However, your name is Master Fauna. And I think that a lot of people would look at that and perceive that to be very kind of gay Leatherman and that you are trying to mimic, you know, the kind of old guard, very male domination thing. So can you tell us why you've chosen to choose the title of Master?
That's a good question. I've met some female masters. I did an intensive weekend with a few of them called the Butchman's Weekend. The conclusion that was made for myself was that master has been given to men, and they've kind of adopted that as their title. If you're a master of property, master of these slaves, that's your title. You're a master, and you earn it. And, you know, in the leather culture, there's a whole process of earning it and things like that. But what was shared with me was that it's a journey. It's a path that you want to be on. It's a different way of approaching this lifestyle. And I don't even own, I own one piece of leather. I own a leather corset. I'm not a leather person. Doesn't mean that I don't respect that or that I might not one day become more of a leather type individual. And I respect what they do. Master is a gender inclusive term. You know, it's a master chef isn't just a male chef. I mean, if you're a master chef, you could be a female as well. And so to me, being a master is you're working towards, and if not totally accomplished it yet, but you're working towards to mastering yourself. And also in turn, that will lead to being a master over someone else. And I have a boy right now, and he calls me Master Fauna, but I don't ask anyone else to use that title. And actually it's fine if people do, I don't get offended, but it for us, that's our dynamic. I don't call him Slave Boy. but, you know, he's mine.
He probably is sad about that.
Safe boy, come here. No, he likes being called baby cakes, quite honestly. So.
Aww, boys are so cute. They're so simple.
They're cute, as long as they keep their penises away from me.
I think they're cuter when they bring the penis out.
Gross.
Yeah.
You can do more when they have a penis. Like, you can you can hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it better.
Mm-hmm. Make it stand and dance.
Yes. Make it make little aprons stick up.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it drip just by doing nothing.
Yeah.
The penis is beautiful. It's not as beautiful as the vagina, but it is a beautiful thing.
Your face
now,
is
let's
so
not
cute.
Talk about scrotums, because scrotums are damn ugly.
No.
Them's some ugly things.
No. Your face is so cute right now. You're like,
I know, she really despises the penis. Okay, back to the master thing. Yeah. When you had changed your name to master, when we talked about it in the group, your explanation, I loved it. And one of the things that I got out of that was that you go through a mastery of something. Like, you know, it's not a mystery, it's a mastery.
Mm.
So, you know, I get that. That makes sense. For me, I would feel uncomfortable calling myself master or having be called master, just because that's just not how I see myself. I feel... You know, I have more of that feminine mystique quality that I want to emanate. And and there's just, for me, I just like the word mistress. It's so pretty. God. It's just such a pretty name.
No, that's good.
You know, but I also wouldn't call myself goddess.
Right.
You know, it's just like, okay, that's awesome. You can do that. But, man, I don't got the balls for that. And I got some fucking balls. So.
You don't want to be goddess. No, I've danced around all the little titles and seen what resonated most with me. I couldn't do mistress, and the reason why is in my mind it's just wired that way. Mistress is the other woman. And so I every time I think of it, I think, oh, the other woman. For me, for other women, I can call someone, oh, you're Mistress Heather, you're Mistress someone, and I totally don't think, oh, she's the other woman. But for me, that's how
I don't mind being the other woman. Just
that's
so you
good
know.
That's
I have no problem with that.
I just want to be the woman.
I have no morals.
I
want to be the woman.
And I like to have little chickens in my yard.
I don't know where the chickens come from.
They would be little man chickens and girl chickens, too.
What's your favorite thing to do to boys?
Oh, make them stand in a corner and ridicule them.
No. Can we throw things at them, too? Want to throw things at boys in the corner?
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited.
It is so fun. No, really, I would say my funnest, is that even a word?
It is now.
We're creating words. Get out the dictionary.
That's what I do. I create words.
I like the funnest thing for me to do, you know?
The most fantabulous.
Is when I'm playing a role like Giggles the Clown. Or...
Okay, that's a hard limit. No fucking clowns.
You don't like clowns.
No.
I have a clown fetish.
Oh my God.
What?
You are my nemesis.
Oh my God. Okay. I've never
I won't
heard
do it towards you. I won't. She's kind of cute. She's
awesome.
Cute. My clown is cute. If you look at my profile, you'll see a picture of me and the clown. But I also do a nun, you know, Sister Mary O'Malley. And I'll be...
Do you do an accent with Sister Mary O'Malley?
A little bit of an Irish accent there.
But whiskey with you.
She likes to purify people with her Bible paddle, which is fun. And
that's hot. God damn it, that's fucking hot.
Let me just do a little plug. I'm going to be hosting the next Southern California Leather Woman thing in October that they
you
have the contest.
Wait, the contest is in October?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the year's almost over.
They're not announcing the runners, are they? They never do. You know why? Because it's one person that runs.
No, it's usually more for some reason.
No, like the last 2 years, it was like one person that ran.
But then they drop out.
Right, because they find out who's running.
And they go, oh, I can't.
Oh, I'm not going up against Mistress Melissa. I'm not going up against Serene.
It's fun. It's cute to see the competition. But they are doing like a whole religious, like, what do you call it? Not sacrifice. There's a word for it.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, it's all Catholic.
Is it the sugar loaf?
They're going to have confessionals.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be pretty
That's
intense.
It. Put it on the goddamn calendar.
We're there.
I fucking want to go.
And I'll be, like, hosting, and I'm going to write some, you know, kinky religious humor. And I might make her Midwestern. I don't know. I might change it.
God bless you. I'm an atheist, by the way, but God bless you anyway.
Hey, I used to be Catholic. What the heck? I'm in recovery now. No, it's good. I love it. I love it. It's so much fun. It scares the shit out of people. And I like to dress up like a cop. I have, you know, the whole dressing up thing fetish. And, like, fucking with people's heads. They're like, what?
So you like the mind fuck? That's your favorite thing?
Oh, yeah. I love that when people are scared of clowns and they see me and they freak out. But man, the last time I fisted this guy, it was just, oh, so fun.
Fisted? When the clown fisted?
Yeah.
There was a clown fist in some guy's ass.
There was people walking by going, oh my God.
That's just something you don't see. Well, I think it's proof that, you know, the guy would be like, well, there's proof clowns are evil. Because you're fisting a dude's ass.
He was laughing. He loved every minute.
Well, yeah, because an ass slut does love that shit.
He carried his own Crisco. That's all I know.
Wow, that is fucking commitment.
It was awkward and fun, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Awesome.
Call me wherever you are.
Apparently, Master Fawn is up for some more anal fisting.
Why not?
What's your fantasy scene?
Well, it would.
That's a hard question.
That would involve a lot of choreographed moves. No, you know what? I don't know. I really don't know.
I feel like that's a harder question for D types to answer than S types, because those S types are like, do everything to me. Well, do all of this stuff.
But that's not an easy answer either.
Yeah, we can't do everything.
I mean, it's because for me, if somebody were to ask me, like, right now, what's your fantasy scene right now? Everything would have to do with the mood that I'm in. But all of my scenes, when I play, it's everything to do with the mood that I'm in. I mean, people ask me, oh, well, you know, kind of walk me through what a scene would look like with you. And I'm like, I can't. You know this. Mm-hmm. We talked about this on the drive over. I can't do that. I can't be like, well, would you cane me? Yeah, that's probable. I have a fucking quiver full of, like, 10 fucking canes. Yeah, I'd probably cane you. I love to cane. Oh, would you flog me? Oh, I'd have the floggers out. Would you do? I don't know. I would have a fucking table of shit. And it depends on the bottom on how they can absorb it and how they go with it and what are they up for. And some people are just like, okay, they're not into impact. All right, then we're going to do some sensory shit. We're going to do some sensory depot. We're going to, you know.
Yeah.
And you can do that with certain things. It's not like it can, like, flow into that and be like, okay, now we're going to snap into some needles. And maybe we'll do some fire play, too. You kind of got to prep for that shit. And wax play. Those are things that take some preparation.
I've seen people do that, too. And I go, God, you must have a lot of hours in the day preparing all that crap.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, I look at that and I'm thinking, you know, we go to the dungeon. And I just don't plan that shit out. Yeah. We go to the dungeon and there's somebody who's set up this, let's say, the main play space, where they are in the middle of it entirely. And they're taking it all up for this scene that they have imagined. And they bring things that clearly they had to have prepared beforehand, knowing full well what the end result was going to be. And I look at it and I'm like, wow, like, that's exhausting. Like, one scene is exhausting for me, but preparing for it is like doing it twice. And I really don't like repeating myself. So, you know, no. I have to say no to that.
Best scenes are just when you're just in the moment, and you know, if you get permission, when you negotiate it out, that they if they like the things you like, and if they like to get impact, and they've got a little bit of a pain slut inside of them, I already know that scene's gonna rock, because I could totally go there and let go and have a good time and break out the whippy stingy one that no one really likes. Ooh, I'm gonna use this on you. So, you know, other than that, sometimes the worst scenes are the ones where you you have to kind of follow the rules of what they want, because they're so high maintenance. Those are the ones I try to avoid a little bit.
You mean the needy subs?
The needy subs.
However do you find a sub, then?
They exist, I swear. You can do this, but you can't do this. And you can do this, but not like that. And you're just like, oh, I don't have
Well, you know what?
Time.
I find that a lot, especially in men. Especially men that have gone to pros.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so used to, this is the way when I first, you know, learned kind of what a pro was, I was like, what the fuck is that? People get paid to do what I do? Oh, my. How does that happen? I mean, I'm never going to do it, but wow. And they're like, yeah, so you go to, well, can you imagine, you're really constrained as a pro, because they're going to you with the menu and they're like, I'd like some CBT as an appetizer. And my main course, I would really like some flogging. And then for dessert, would you do some humiliation? And that's it. You're very limited. You can't do anything more than that. And I'm like, fuck that shit. Why would you, you know, and so the men, because generally it's men that go to pros. So the men then that have this, like, pro history, they, like, come into a relationship or a desired relationship with a lifestyler, and they start talking about all of these things that they want to do, and it's like, whoa, 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 that's a great idea, and you need to shut the fuck up, because that ain't how it's going to fucking go.
Yeah.
You know? And it's one of those things where that is so cute that you want to do that, and that's not happening.
I love you so much.
But it's true. It's actually very frustrating.
Oh my God,
because then you have to battle this, like, topping from the bottom shit.
Seriously. I hate that shit.
Right?
And if you're listening and you want to add in your two cents, our phone number is 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. I would love to see the both of you co-top.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? We have similar energies. So I think the work, I co-topped with somebody else who, and our energies were not really, you know, simpatico. And it was weird. It was weird. We actually co-topped two people. They were on two St. Andrew's crosses against each other. Ooh. And we would go around circling the two of them. And then one sign we would, whatever. And it was punching and there was caning and there was whatevering. And it was fantastic. And they were drooling messes. And I loved it. And one was male and one was female. It was fantastic. You know one of the females. Gemini.
Oh.
I think everybody knows one of the females. but the energy is what's important. And I think that, I think Master Fawn and I would be fantastic. But who would we co-top? Not you. God, we could.
No.
Well, you know what? She would probably be really good with a fantastic humiliation. Can you imagine how good she would be?
Oh my God.
At a service-oriented humiliation, Rasa?
Gosh. Blah. What?
She lost her words. She lost her ability to speak right then.
Don't. It's like you're dangling stuff in front of me, and then, like, you're not going to give it to me, and then it looks so good, and then I'm like, what? It looks like a red velvet cupcake that I want so bad.
Is she whining? Is that whining?
That's cute. That's actually kind of begging.
Would you like some cheese with that?
With your well, she can't. She's lactose intolerant.
Damn.
That would be bad.
And that's the kind of humiliation I don't want. FYI.
Eat this cheese. Drink this glass of milk. Eat this ice cream. Do it. No talking.
Oh, allergy plays. They're so funny. Bring in the bees.
When you put your life in a master mistress's hands.
I'm cutting off a nipple.
Anaphylactic shock.
I have no limits.
Right? Right? For the person that says, I have no limits. Or better yet,
what are you
I have
to?
No limits with you. No, baby, you got limits with me. Everybody's got the limits.
I have no limits with
everybody.
You.
I have no limits with you.
I trust you completely.
No, you don't. You don't understand. Because I can't. What if I did that to you? And I wouldn't do that because that seems really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like things under fingernails. I don't want to do that. That sounds uncomfortable. I do really want to waterboard, though. That sounds fantastic.
Sounds interesting.
Right?
It does.
I would love to waterboard somebody.
It sounds fun. Yeah. Maybe not so fun. But for us, it would be fun.
Well, but it's not lethal.
Isn't it?
No.
Okay. Then let's do
it. That's why it was so controversial, is because it's not lethal. But people believe that they're being drowned. And so it's the psychological mind fuck, which is why I think waterboarding should become the next frontier in BDSM. Hmm. Let's all waterboard.
Yay. But that would be really scary for someone like me that, like, doesn't know how to swim. I would really feel really
not
scared. I don't care.
Throw you in the ocean with a board.
Really scared.
I don't think that's how it works. You know, I kind of wish that I knew somebody who was like a, I don't know, an FBI interrogator or who's the people that do the waterboarding.
I've met a few.
If anybody out there knows waterboarding, give me a call.
I'll give you some names.
Would you? Do they have uniforms? Because I like that.
They might.
Well, it looks like we had a call. Please call back. Caller, our phone number is 800-893-9562. And then Nick will pick up the phone and we'll patch you through. And everything will be fantastic.
He's,
and
Nick isn't
in the
there.
He's in the hallway.
Nick is bullshitting in the hall.
Start bullshitting in the booth.
Let's give him an F. That's his grade. F plus.
An F plus.
He's running to the thing now going, did I mess up? What did I miss?
Too much
fun. Caller. It's my mother.
Your mother's going to call in? Yeah, that would be weird.
She's not.
That would be weird.
It would be really strange.
What would be weirder is my grandma calling them.
So I'm leaving the hospital today.
Honey, what are you doing?
And my mom goes, have a good podcast. And I go, thanks, Mom. And she goes, who's your guest? And I go, just a friend of ours, because Mom knows Nancy. And then I go, stop needling for information, because Mom and I had this brief conversation. She goes, so when can I hear this podcast? And I said, Mom, you will never, ever, ever hear my podcast. You will never know anything about it or where it's put up or what it is. All I'm going to tell you is it's a sex-based podcast, and that's all you're going to know. She's like, I'm very open about sex. I can, and I was like, no. Aww. It ain't never happening, Ma, so just shut up. So there's that.
And she said, thanks a lot.
And she was just like, she was very distraught.
I gave birth to you.
That I felt that I couldn't share, you know, this sexual component of me, and I'm thinking, yeah.
She's like, I've had sex. You're here.
Yeah, Mom, I saw you had sex when I was 9, and it just traumatized me.
The fuck? I did
Hasn't
not
everybody
need to know
seen
that.
Their parents have sex?
I
wasn't
not,
even a parent, but
no,
it was traumatizing.
I
thought he was hurting my mom.
I will never see her the same way.
No. Trust me, I won't either because the image is burned in my head. My poor little 9-year-old head thinking that this man was abusing my mother. And I come sneaking in and I'm like, what is he doing to her? And I was like, sounds like she's liking it. But it was really, I was really conflicted. Like, is this hot? Is this nasty? And what are those things attached to him? Those look like hairy balls. I don't understand. It was really weird. And I had a hairy ass. And I was raised a nudist, so I'd seen lots of people. But it was just one of those. It was.
You were raised a nudist?
I was raised a nudist.
That's awesome.
No, it's not.
No, it wouldn't be now that I think about it.
It's not. I've seen way too many old people's naked playing tennis and volleyball.
Gross.
I certainly.
They're active.
I did appreciate kind of like the teenagers' forms. There was this one girl that had the most beautiful body. She was like 14. I was, you know, 9. And I was like, wow, I want her body when I'm that age. You know?
So now I have a question, another question. In vanilla instances, like dating and stuff like that, how does your dominance play a role in that?
I can tell you.
Go, because I don't date.
Aw. Well, I mean, my boy right now, the majority of what we do really is just vanilla dating. Aww. For the most part, is going out and having a good time and, you know, getting dinner. And we have certain protocols that we put into place that, you know, that he is expected to do. You know, the opening the doors, I appreciate. And little things, you know, taking my coat off, things like that, being a gentleman. And something that he strives to do very well. And so outside of that, when we're at home or we're at the dungeon, it's a completely different dynamic. But when we're, you know, we're pretty much vanilla. We went to an event together yesterday, and we were just like a couple, just hanging out, having a good time. And
do you introduce him as your boyfriend?
I usually just introduce him by his first name.
Oh, so you don't give him a title?
No, but then last night, or yesterday when we were at the event, I called him my boy, or my Jimmy. Yeah.
Hi, Jimmy.
He'll never listen to this.
He might if you're on it. You'd be surprised.
I don't know.
Maybe he can plug it into his iPhone, his Android while he's driving. Aww. Listen to it.
Mm. That's what I do when I miss her, when I miss Mistress. When I'm in the car, I'll plug in the phone, and then I can hear her. And she's totally talking to me, except she's talking to, like, a past me. So, like, it's just weird.
That's
but, you
wild.
Know, whatever.
That's wild.
But I do have a lot of play friends that I consider just, I don't date them, but we play. So there's different people that I'll meet and play with. So that would mean we wouldn't have a dating situation where we go out to dinner right. or hang out in that way. It wouldn't be a social type thing. So that's what's different about that. Which you have play friends that you play with.
Yeah. I get my beat on with people.
I outsource my beatings.
Yeah, she does. She does. It's cute.
I guess I asked that because, you know, romance and having that like kind of like chivalrous guy. I just always wonder how that works, you know.
I do too. Can you tell me more?
Because I think about men and I'm like, ew, stay away. You know, and I guess I kind of struggle with that, I guess, in my own way where I'm like, we're partners and I'm going to do all this stuff for you and I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to be your protector. But then it's like, no, I'm not.
No, she's cute. She does a lot of like chivalrous things. It's very adorable. She opens my door. Oh my God, she does this thing. It's so funny. So she drives me around everywhere. It's fantastic. My driver. And she'll open the car door for me. And then before she puts in it, she has manual locks, which like, what? Who has manual locks? Anyway, but she does. So she locks the door and she goes, precious cargo. And then she closes the door when I get in.
Too cute.
I make fun of her for it, but it's adorable.
That is so cute.
Isn't that
precious
cute?
Precious cargo.
I want one of you. You have another one of you?
She is. No, she's adorable. I love her to death. I'm so pleased to have her.
Aw, shucks.
I'm not good at the romance thing. Yeah. Just not good
but
at
so
it.
But you guys don't date.
Well, we do. We're broke right now. But,
yeah,
but when we had the monies, we did the going out.
Yeah.
We went to dinners.
And we hold hands.
And we hold hands when we go out. Yeah. And we've done wine tasting. Yes.
So here's the question.
And steel pecs.
Here's the question. Is there a love component to your relationship?
Yeah.
Because some
absolutely
people would say
love
they,
her.
They can't love the people that they're
you know what?
In this dynamic with.
I can see that. I mean, I think it depends. You know, it's... I believe that there's a reason that I'm poly because I don't think that any one person could satisfy my needs on various levels. And I could be like all about, hey, because I'm a complex person and therefore I have complex needs, whatever. But... we have a caller?
We sure do.
Well, now I'm just going to shut up.
Hello, you have reached the love bite.
Oh, honey, don't ever shut up. Hi, honey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. You know who it is, right?
I do. I do. See what you got, babes.
I was just curious. I'm adoring the show. I absolutely adore it.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. When you guys were talking about originally coming into dominance and, you know, picking your names, master, mistress, all that, do you find that there are terms that really don't? There should be other terms other than just mistress and master and sub and.
Yeah.
I mean, being in it, I mean, shouldn't there be should there be any rules at all?
Well,
I hate to say it.
I'm going to get on my soapbox here for just a minute because I always have a soapbox. Labels. I have this thing about labels in society in general, and that as soon as somebody assigns themselves a label, they all of a sudden put themselves into some sort of a box. And the box
Correct.
May not necessarily fit them. It's not a one-size-fit-all kind of scenario. And then within our community, you take a label. That's why I specifically asked Master Fauna, you know, when you hear the term master, you come to this idea, and if it's a female, you're kind of like, oh, well, she's one of them. She's all, you know, wearing a leather vest, and she's like, wants to be a guy, and that kind of thing, which is not her at all. She's a very feminine woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's very beautiful, and she's got some beautiful boobs.
Oh, my God.
I have not seen them naked,
hair.
But I've seen them in the pretty... Anyway, so my point is, because that was a complete offshoot, and my point is that... people can have labels and assign themselves labels to their heart's content, but how one defines themselves, I think, is of greater importance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very, very dominant person, but that doesn't mean that I don't like my ass smacked and my hair pulled. You know, that doesn't make me a submissive. That doesn't make me a switch at all. But
and however you do your dominance is what makes you dominant.
Yes.
However
Precisely.
You choose to express it is what makes you dominant. If it be strength, if it be... whatever part of the scene that you're playing or whatever role you're playing, if you're aggressing and you're the aggressor, that's what actually defines your dominance. Is that correct?
Well, I like to shy away from the word aggression because I think
pick another word. I mean,
no, I know what I think truthfully for me, what defines a person's dominance or their submission or their switch or whatever it is they want to call themselves or their topping or their bottoming or their sadomasochism, I think it's just whatever that little fire inside of you is, and that's what it is. And sometimes
and you're born natural to it or you're not.
Right.
Period.
That, I believe that very strongly. I believe
okay,
it's
well, I do too.
Born this way thing.
I just don't know how to defend it.
But you don't. If you have to defend it, you're having the wrong discussion with the wrong person.
Yeah, I realize that.
Anybody that's
there's just not the right terms to use, I suppose.
Yeah, if you're being put in a position where you have to prove your dominance, well, that's not a fun dance for anybody, and you know it just leaves so many opportunities for people to just kind of prove you wrong and push you down. Oh, see, you're not being dominant.
Or you don't fit in this category, or you're not doing this right, or this isn't right, or you haven't said this word right, or you haven't answered this question right, or you know.
Exactly. And for me,
it's exactly like you said. You can prove all of your skills in a room with every tool that you use, but if you can't have the courage to be the type of mistress or whatever you want to call it yourself, and not have to, you know, just say, "Look, I'm not defending myself anymore. This is what I am. If you don't like it, go away."
Yeah.
That's kind of the only answer I can come up with these days.
It's true.
Right?
But, I mean, that's an excellent attitude to adopt for life in general. You know, be who you are. Be the best of who and what you are and develop yourselves as you want to be developed and fuck everybody else.
Well, I'm not having a problem with the Vanillas. They're jumping right on board.
Well, you know what? That's interesting because people in our community can be kind of fucking bitchy. They can be kind of assholes.
Like 3 days worth of it in my DM? So bad I had to do a boo? Yeah, really.
Well, you know, I'm just, it's, conversations are going to be conversations. And most of these kind of, you know, to speak to one of the things that Fauna had said earlier, some of these conversations really need to happen face to face. You're not going to get anything over in writing, whatever the medium might be. I think that it's really important that, and also sometimes the best defense is no defense because you don't need to defend yourself. If somebody wants to come and go on attacking you and saying whatever they want to say about you lack this, that, or the other thing, just be like, okay, I'm, you know, you don't even have to say I'm sorry, but I see that you see it that way. And it is what it is. End. Because there's no winning with
people.
Graceful to the third day, you think?
Yes, I was graceful up until the third day. By the third day, my claws came out and said, okay, I'm done with this shit.
Right, but some people just want to fight to fight. So on a general level, just don't reply.
I can't tell you how many times someone has been like, hey, wait a minute, so you identify as a submissive, but you like to peg men? Like, how does that work? How do you reconcile that? I don't know. Shit, I like to put it up a man's butt, so sue me.
What in the butt?
That has nothing to do.
You know, I find it ironic. You know, you would think the one community, obviously, you know, we're having such difficulty anyway. You know, the one community, you would be instantly embraced. No, you're challenged.
Yeah.
And it is part of the badges, isn't it? Just, you know, I know at some certain point in time, a couple of years down the road, I'm going to be able to, you know, walk in and go, yeah, don't even question me. Don't even think about it. But right now, no, not at all. Because, you know, it is still pretty new. You know?
No, there will never be. No,
let me
just take away that hope, because there will never be a point when you're not questioned. Yeah. To be a dominant, to be, not even just a bit, to be in the spotlight. Wait, hold on, honey. To be in the spotlight means that you are going to be, somebody's going to be overcritical of you. You are going to be looked at and completely torn apart by anybody and whomever. And some people just like to tear people apart. So the truth of the matter is, you need to just come to terms with yourself and just don't engage. I mean, that's.
Oh, are you ready for this one? I'm fine with men. You know, when that question comes in with men, it's the women I have the problem with.
That doesn't surprise me. Well, I mean, good luck, and thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Thanks, honey. Have a great show.
You too.
Bye.
I did want to say one thing, that I know that there's a lot of women who are very feminine in their power, and then there are the ones that are very masculine in their power. I want to say there are women who are comfortable and at peace being a masculine energy entity in a feminine body. And I just want to acknowledge them, that I love you guys too.
Right. They're fantastic.
Fucking hot. And you turn me on. That's what I'm going to say.
Right. Well, some of them. I look at them and I was like, oh, they're so domly.
Totally.
It's like fantastic. We have a couple in the group that I was like, oh, like I'm like in awe of them, how cool they are.
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, everybody has their thing. And I also like people to try to define what they think it's supposed to be. And then just show me the rules that you're going to tell me what the rules are, and then I'm going to break them. That's I think it's a fetish. I really do. I think it's a rule-breaking fetish that I just have.
A lot. Well, I have that too.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's interesting because I was having a conversation with my sister who's a lesbian, and she categorizes herself as a butch. And my sister doesn't look like a butch fucking at all. I mean, she's got very feminine features. She doesn't even dress like a butch. Even when she tried to be butch, it just looked like she needed a haircut and to pluck her eyebrows. That was it. I mean, I love my sister and shave her legs, but, you know. And it was something she and I really connected on because she feels like a butch because she looks like she approaches the world. She feels like she approaches the world kind of from a male perspective. And I said, yes, I feel mannish. And I say this all the time to my friends. Because I'm so mannish. And people are like, you're not mannish. There's nothing mannish. And you know me. There's nothing mannish about me. But I feel like it on the inside because I feel like I approach the world in a very different way from kind of the womanly way. So, you know, but it doesn't mean that it comes from a masculine energy. It's still very feminine. But it's so close to that line.
Yeah.
Because it's so, you know, a little bit more on, to use the caller's word, aggressive, as the world might look. I like to say assertive. Controlling and in command.
In command, I like that.
But, you know, and I think we are who we are, and our energies come from multitudes of places. And how I'm a big believer in, you know, if somebody wants to identify themselves as whomever and whatever they are, then I don't care. It's no offense to me. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue if somebody wants to call themselves goddess. It may be their thing, but, you know, it's not my thing. That's in Rocket. If they can own it, I love it. Somebody wants to call themselves master, have a party.
Yeah. It would appear that we have a caller.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this thing.
Yes. Hello. Hello, you've reached the Love Bite.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So we're here with Master Fauna and with Mistress and talking about female dominance. So what would you like to add?
Well, I actually wanted to say hello to all three of you wonderful ladies. This is Ms. Diana.
Oh my God, she's like
the... We have a local celebrity on the phone.
But she's like the femdom of all femdoms. I think we can agree on that.
I'm so special.
Hello. You can't see me, but I'm blushing.
You are too cute.
Well, what did you have to say? Just say hello, because we love hearing the hellos.
Oh, well, thank you. What I wanted to say is that It's really nice from the perspective of having been on the planet for a while to be able to say, what you see is what you get. If you can't hang, go someplace else. I am who I am. And if I am comfortable with the chick in the mirror, the rest of you just get the hell out of the way.
Bingo. Oh,
we love you, Miss D.
That's true.
And I love the three of you.
You're smiling so big right now. Like,
that's true. And you know what? That's actually a real challenge for a lot of people. A lot of it's not just women. I mean, everybody. But I think that women struggle with it more because we can talk about the psychology and components of it. But it's just something that women struggle with because we are labeled so often. And I guess everybody is, but that's just my little...
But you know what? It is neither... gender specific, it is not economic specific, it is not social class specific, it's human specific. When people are insecure, for whatever reasons and to whatever degree, they seem to believe that the only way to assure their position, whatever it might be, is to make sure nobody else achieves that position. Or to challenge anybody else's right to a position. And once you get past all of that, and sometimes it is just a matter of time on the planet. I mean, I went through adolescent angst. We all go through our growing pains. But once you realize that the only person you have to be really on good, authentic, honest terms with is the person in the mirror, everything else falls into place. It really does.
Wow. Thank you. That's very, very true.
Every single time you say something, it's like wisdom and like, yes, let me soak it all up. I respect you so much because I feel like, I mean, just, of course, you're this person that everyone talks about having so much experience in the lifestyle, but I respect you so much because when you speak with conviction.
Ian Hutton says.
And that's that's powerful for me.
Well, you know, some of the watchwords in my life really do include things like, if it ain't fun, I'm not doing it. You know, and life is way too short to get my pantyhose in an uproar. And you are right. Whether you are a leader or not, if you take a position that is contrary to the positions of other people in the room, you paint a target on yourself. And you have to know that if you can handle being the target, then you are welcome to say whatever you want to say. If you are not comfortable letting people take pot shots, then you have to keep your mouth shut. And for me, that's just not an option.
That's true. I've learned that from you, Ms. D. I've learned to speak up for myself. And it is true. People will take little pot shots, and you have to kind of go, okay, and how will I take that? And, you know, you take it with grace, and you always have, Ms. D. You really are amazing.
And the other reality is the people who know better. The people who love you regardless. And the people who want to talk shit or believe shit are going to do it whether it's true or not. So you might as well just relax and enjoy.
Haters going to hate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people who are insecure are going to do whatever it is they need to do. And somewhere down the line, the light will go on and they'll find out you were right. And then... And again, in the great cosmic scheme of things, who's going to remember a year from now? Who cares who won the argument? Right. You just go on and do the best that you can, as honestly and happily as you can, bringing along the people who want to come along for the ride and forgetting the ones who want to take a different bus.
Well said.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
listen, you,
so
you
much.
Ladies, have a wonderful Sunday. I'm going to let you get on with your show.
Thank you, Misty.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh,
I feel so special.
I totally feel
Misty
so...
called.
She called.
Totally called.
Hi. Special.
Yay. She's also a Dom Scout, by the way.
Yeah, she's in her Femdom group, and she's like a local legend.
Yeah. You know,
she has been around in the lifestyle for a long time, and I think those are truly, truly very good words of wisdom for anybody.
Yes.
For anybody. I mean, you know, this, just so you know, people, these are the kinds of people that we actually hang out with. I mean, these are the people that we see and we interact with and we're part of groups in, because, and that's why we think that we have, you know, some good people that we can bring on to actually talk about something of interest and something that can actually be applied in a very positive way. I mean, we joke and we bitch and I humiliate, but
not nearly enough.
I've been busy, the truth of the matter is we're very lucky to be surrounded by so many positive, wonderful influences that allow us to bring people on the show and hopefully, you know, send it out there to other people who may have, you know, less than positive experiences.
We're sharing our cool friends with you.
That's right. Yeah. Well, not to highlight our coolness, but, you know.
I'm really passionate about creating circles of women that can be a support for each other. That can be kind of the opposite of being this solo entity of dominance, which to me, it can work. I've seen women do it, but I don't think it's necessary. I think that we're even stronger when we're together, and especially when we're in circles together, meaning that, you know, we collect together and we share our ideas and our thoughts and our passions and our creativities. There's just not enough of that going around. And so what do? Sit around and complain about it? No, you create it.
Right.
So that's part of my dominance, is creating when it wasn't there and keeping it going, and I enjoy it so much.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that one of the challenges that I have faced throughout my dominance is the fact that it's harder for a dominant to really find a safe place to be like, what the fuck do I do? This happened, and I don't know what to do. And if you have a circle of other, and I would prefer female dominance because, like I said, it's a slightly different approach. You can go to a male, but women just think a little bit differently. You know, you have that support system. I see submissives that have buttloads of support with their other submissive, and they have little subby bitch sessions. But I don't see dominance doing that. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's one of those things that, you know, it's nice to have, to know that if you had that, then you might be able to grow. You know, a little bit, which is what we all want.
Yeah, sometimes when I see, like, I hesitate to ask you, are you okay? Or do you need to talk about something? Because I just feel like, what could I possibly say to do or, like, any kind of anything?
Right.
And so that's hard for me to see.
I'm also not going to burden you.
Right.
It's not part of my role to burden you with that. That's not your role for certain things.
Right. But so then what happens is that I have that freak out, right? and then I kind of just come back to base and I think, okay, what can I do? Is this, I can support your dominance.
Right.
That's what I can do. Right. I can't be another D-type and be like, let's figure this out. Because I'm pretty sure that's how you guys talk when you talk.
We do. We like Popeye. I am what I am. That's what we do all the time. Circles.
That's totally what you guys
with
do.
With our massive too. Forearms. That's
yeah.
what we do.
Yeah.
To eat a lot of spinach.
Just like I imagined. Yes.
Creamed spinach.
Wow. Thank you. I mean, we're really towards the end.
I can't believe this is the end.
Right? Isn't it fast?
Can you bring me back, please?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes,
please.
This was so much fun.
Our guest was Master Fauna.
Yeah.
I am Insidious Muse.
I'm Service Slut, and you can find all of us on FetLife.
Yes, by all those names.
Yes.
I'm on the Twitter. You're Service Slut's on the Twitter.
Yes. You should be on. There's a lot of kinky fucks.
You need
on the
to
Twitter.
Get on the fucking Twitter.
Let me just tell you.
We got 10 seconds for you to wrap up with our liking of the Love Bite.
Oh, please like our Facebook page, The Love Bite, and then follow us on Twitter. Just
at
search.
The _ love _ bite. Fuck. Bye. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Goodbye.
Fine, we're done. I was like, we gotta wrap.